Titus 2, I'm going to read verses 1 to 10, but we will focus this morning particularly on verse 3. So I'll read Titus 2, 1 to 10. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You may be seated. Let's join our hearts together in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for this time. Thank you for Lord's Day worship. And thank you for this text in front of us. Help me to preach it faithfully, clearly, boldly, and accurately. And may especially the older women here receive it and apply it and live it for your glory. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the blessing of it. Help me in preaching. I'm weak. I'm needy. I need your help. Otherwise, this time will be in vain. So give me grace. Help me feel my weakness that the power of Christ may rest upon me, that you might receive glory and your people here might receive edification. For those who aren't saved, may they hear your word with profit unto the saving of their soul. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are in Titus chapter 2. Last Lord's Day, I focused on the older men. And we saw that older men are to be sober. They're to be reverent. They're to be temperate. They're to be sound in faith, in love, and in patience. And if you haven't heard that sermon, it's on sermon audio. Feel free to look that up and listen to that one. So as it relates to older men and what they're to do based on sound doctrine. And so that's what the older men are to be like. This Lord's Day, I want to focus particularly on verse 3 of now what older women should be like. So older men were exhorted in verse 2, and now in verse 3, the older women are exhorted in what they're to do. I said last Lord's Day, it seems to be that many people say that in the Bible, an older man was 40 and above. So an older woman is 40 and above. Obviously, these principles will also be applied to younger women in a sense, but if you're in that category, this particularly applies to you. If you're 40 and above, this particularly applies to you. That God would help you to be a faithful, godly, older woman in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory. And so the main point of this verse is older women, based on sound doctrine, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. My first point, older women, based on sound doctrine, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine. My second point, older women, based on sound doctrine, are to be teachers of good things. So again, my first point. Older women, based on sound doctrine, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanders, not given to much wine. Some of you might be hearing saying, but I'm not an older woman. God made me male or I'm younger, whatever it might be. These verses also have something to say to you, because all God's people are to be reverent. All God's people are not to be slanderers. All God's people are not to be drunkards. And so, in a way, this verse applies to all of us in the sense of it describing godly behavior and practice, but it has, again, special reference to the older women in Christ's church. And because there are older women in front of me, it applies particularly for you today as you would hear it and seek to live it for God's glory. It is so important, as you'll see as I go on, God helping me. It's so important, so undervalued, what is commonly called Titus 2 women in the church. And it's so important that older women grasp what they are to be so that they can be an example to younger women in the church, both by precept and by practice. And so may God help us understand this verse. Again, older women, based on sound doctrine, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanders, not given to much wine. So older women, just like the older men, are exhorted to be like this because of sound doctrine. Because these older women have been brought by God's grace to repent and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because they are in union with Jesus Christ by faith, because they are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, because God is their Heavenly Father, this is how they are to live and be, based on not just simply picking themselves up by their bootstraps, but because they are in union with the resurrected and reigning Lord Jesus Christ, they are to be this type of women. So this is not disconnected from sound doctrine. It's connected to it. Because of the sound doctrine that older women believe and profess and know, these are the type of women they're to be. And so a woman who says that Jesus Christ is her Savior and she has submitted to Him as her loving Lord, this is what God, through Christ, wants her to be. But it's all rooted and grounded in the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. It can never be disconnected from that. Because this, without salvation in Christ, is just a vain pursuit. But in Christ, a woman, by the grace of God, walking in the Spirit, can actually be these things. Because the gospel of the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus not only forgives us and makes us right with God, it also transforms our life. It makes us new from the inside out. Because all of us who are in Christ spiritually have been baptized into Christ, and spiritually, because of the Holy Spirit, have been buried with Christ and risen, all of us spiritually, to newness of life. And for older women, verse 3 is the newness of life that God wants them to walk in. Verse 2 is what the newness of life looks like for older men. But verse 3, not exhaustively, but in a summary form of some key things of what older women are to be, because they are saved by the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. This is so important that we understand this truth. There's things going around about different movements, and I haven't got into it too much, but it seems like a lot of the critique, if it is valid, is it's trying to live the Christian life without regeneration. It's trying to live the Christian life without the gospel being the motivation. And it's so important that we remember that we're not just doing this because it's, quote unquote, the right thing to do, even though it is right. But we're doing it because we've been redeemed by Jesus Christ, and we are indwelt by His Spirit. Ladies, if you're not being led and motivated by the gospel, you will eventually say it's not worth it, or you will lose hope. But if you're led and motivated by the love of Jesus Christ for you, that He loved you and gave Himself for you, then these things will be your great desire, because you know you're doing it not to earn God's favor. You have all of His favor because you have the righteousness of Christ, but because you want to please the God who loves you and gave Himself for you. And so first we see in this list that older women likewise Older women are to be exhorted like the men. And they are likewise, we see that they are to be exhorted to be reverent in behavior. To be reverent in behavior. Women who are marked by reverence in behavior are dignified in their mannerisms, in their speech, in their actions. They're not sinfully loud. They're not obnoxious. They're not insensitive. But they're reverent in behavior. A lot of times we think about the Proverbs 31 woman, but a lot of times we don't think about the Proverbs 7 woman. There's actually two key women, one bad, one good, one bad. Proverbs 31 is the good example. Proverbs 7 is the bad example. That's the strange woman. That's the immoral woman. And we'll see by going to that text the opposite of a woman being reverent in her behavior. If you turn to Proverbs 7, we'll see there an example of a woman who's the opposite of being reverent in behavior. And by contrasting it, you will see what it looks like for a woman to be reverent in behavior. Proverbs chapter 7, starting at verse 10. Proverbs 7, verse 10. Proverbs 7 and verse 10. It says there about this Proverbs 7 woman, it says, "And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home." So we see here, in contrast, a woman who is not reverent. First, we see that the Holy Spirit describes this woman who is irreverent as a woman who is dressed like a harlot. One way to know that a woman is irreverent in her behavior and practice is she dresses like a harlot. Is she dresses in an immodest way. That is a key way to see an irreverent woman by the way that she clothes her body. That's the first thing he wants to say. When this woman meets him, he first starts by saying she is dressed in the attire of a harlot. And so one key way to see the irreverence of a woman is she is dressed not with modesty and with sobriety, but like a harlot. And then we see that she has a crafty heart or deceitful heart. She's not coming to this man with good intentions, with good motives. She's coming to him with deceitful and crafty motives. Her heart is deceitful. Her heart is wicked. And she comes dressed like a harlot with a crafty heart. And then it describes that this woman who is irreverent, who's not reverent but irreverent, she's loud and she's rebellious. Which if you think about scripture passages of what women are to be, it's the exact opposite of a gentle and quiet spirit. She's loud and rebellious. For clarity, it's not wrong for a woman to have a louder voice or to be talkative. That's not what loud here means. It means she's being sinfully loud. She is obnoxious and aggressive, maybe even with her speech. And it's clarified even more by saying not only is she loud, but she's rebellious, which makes it seem like she's not submissive to her husband. We know that for sure because she is married and she says, "My husband's gone on a long journey." That's what she tells this man. "My husband's gone on a long journey. Don't worry about our immorality. My husband's gone." So she's rebellious to her husband. She's certainly rebellious to God. But you know what? This woman is a religious woman. Some people may not pick up on that, but this woman professes religion. Why do I know that? If you look at verse 14 in the same chapter, she says, "I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows." So she is a woman that even professes that she has paid her vows to God and she has made peace offerings. But she, instead of being a woman of the truth as it is in the Word of God, she's actually a woman who is deceitful. She's loud. She's rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. She was a busybody meddling in other people's affairs. And we see here meddling, seeking the immorality of a young man. And so this is the exact opposite of an older woman who is reverent in behavior. So let's contrast it. what would it look like then if this is the opposite? Let me be very clear about what it would look like then for a woman to be reverenced. One, she would dress her body in a way that is modest and not to draw attention to her body and seek to be sensual in her behavior and her dress and her attitude. But she would clothe her body with modesty and with sobriety. So she would be a modest woman in the way she dresses and in the way she acts. She would not be marked by a deceitful heart, but she would, because she's a blessed woman, have a pure heart, because blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And she's not loud and rebellious, but she has a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is very precious in God's sight. She is a woman who is submissive to her husband, and she is not obnoxious or rude, but she is a woman that instead wants to have a submissive spirit first to the Lord, and then to her husband, and to his word. And so she is a woman who is gentle and quiet in spirit. And she's not a woman who is a busybody meddling in other people's affairs, but she instead is a woman that minds her own business. This is what a reverent woman looks like. She is a woman that is the opposite of Proverbs 7, 10, and 11. So if you ever want to know what it looks like to be reverent, just do the exact opposite of Proverbs 7. Just do the exact opposite. This is the contrast. This is a woman that is the opposite of what God wants older women to be. But reverence in behavior is what God wants older women to be. He wants them to be reverent in their speech, in their mannerisms, in their behavior, as women who profess godliness. This is what God wants older women to be like. So she is a woman who her desire above everything else is to live in such a way to bring glory, honor, and praise to God. And she does that by being reverent in her behavior. This is what God wants for older women. Older women are not being what God wants them to be unless they are reverent in their behavior. Unless they're being reverent in their behavior. But second, we see in this list that they're to be reverent in behavior, they're also not slanderers. They're not slanderers. A common female sin, which makes sense why it's listed here, is to be a slanderer or to gossip. And godly older women are not to be those who tear down, malign people, crush people's reputation, but they are instead to be those who encourage and seek to build others up. Godly older women are not slanderers. They're not out to get people and harm people and tear people down. They're not those who love to hear the worst things about people so that they can tear them down and make them feel small and belittle them. She doesn't want to harm people. She wants to bless people. And because older women have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, they don't want to harm, they want to love. And love does not slander other people. And so older women are not to be slanderers. They're not to be gossips and busybodies. They're not to be meddling in other people's affairs. They're not to be concerned about what other women are doing, especially if it doesn't apply to them. They're not to be those type of women who say, oh, can I get a prayer request for someone? And then you talk about the person for 30 minutes and then you never pray for them. That can happen where you say you're doing it because you're going to pray for the person, but really why you're doing it is to tear the person down. God doesn't want older women to be like that. God wants older women to instead be those who are kind and gracious towards others and are not slandering the good name or the reputation of other people, especially their brothers and sisters in Christ. This is what older women are to be like. They're to be reverent in their behavior, and they are to not be slanderers. It's interesting, some of the common female sins are actually addressed in this. One common female sin is to be loud and rebellious, as we saw in Proverbs 7. Also, to be immodest is a common female sin. And also, to be a slanderer is a common female sin. And those things are addressed in being reverent in behavior and not being a slanderer. God is saying, I know these are common female sins, so to speak. I know these are common female sins, but these are not to be common amongst older women in the church. I know they're common in the world, but they're not to be common in the church. I know that they might be acceptable in the world for you to be loud and rebellious and for you to be immodest and for you to be a slanderer, but it's not acceptable amongst the older women in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God is explaining what he wants older women to be, that they would be reverent in behavior, not slanderers. And then third, older women are not to be given to much wine. Older women are not to be given to much wine. It says in verse 3, not given to much wine, which can also be understood as older women are not to be drunkards. They are not to be drunkards. Obviously, we know that wine in moderation is acceptable before God, but wine in excess is not. The Word of God says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled by the Holy Spirit. What's being described there is you're going to be controlled by either wine or the Spirit. Don't be we even say things like under the influence. We use that about alcohol. Don't be under the influence. And what the Holy Spirit is saying in that text is don't be under the influence of wine where you lose control, where you're not thinking straight, where you're using wine as a coping mechanism. Don't be under the influence of wine, but instead be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And to be filled with the Holy Spirit is also to be filled with the Word, because the parallel text is let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And so women are not to be enslaved to wine. They're not to be overcome by wine. They're not to be those who look to wine as their solution and not to God as their refuge and strength. And there are women in our culture that they look to wine as their answer. I remember working in an environment, and one of the ladies, she loved to talk about wine and how she would get home and have her wine. And that was like her coping mechanism. She wasn't a believer. It almost seemed like that was her coping mechanism. She was so excited to get some wine that was her answer for her problems. That was her answer for her trials. That if only she could have wine. But older women are not to be like that. Older women are, of course, allowed to have wine in moderation, but they're not to look to wine as their answer to help them in their problems. And so older women are to be reverent in their behavior. They're not to be slanderers. They're not to be given to much wine. This is what God wants older women to be like. To be reverent in the way they live and act and behave. To not be slanderers towards other people. And not to be given to much wine. These are the things that God wants them to be. We'll also see there's a longer list of what younger women are to be, which implies that older women are to be those things as well, because to be able to teach younger women that and not do it in a hypocritical spirit, you must be and desire those things as well. So the younger women list does also apply to older women, but here directly we see what God wants older women to be. And again, all of these things, the reason why older women want to be reverent or ought to want to be reverent in behavior, ought to want to be not slanderers, ought to want to be not given to much wine, is because of Christ who has saved them from their sin. Because they are new creations in Christ. They no longer want to live according to this present evil age, but they want to live according to Christ and according to his word. And therefore, they want to be different from the world because they've been redeemed. They've been saved. They've been rescued. And they now have the mind of Christ and realize the world is telling me something about what it means to be a woman. But I want to be what God says for me to be a woman. And in our day and age, what the world says is success for a woman is very different than what God says is success for a woman. What the world says older women should be is very different than what God says they ought to be. But the only way a woman can truly be convinced of that is if she's been rescued from her sin and she's been given a new nature and she now has the mind of Christ to think God's thoughts after him. But now my second point. Older women based on sound doctrine, are to be teachers of good things. Older women based on sound doctrine are to be teachers of good things. That's how the verse ends. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. In this context, what it means by teachers of good things, and not that they are to be pastors or preachers in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean they are to exercise authority in the church, it doesn't mean they are to teach in the church, but it does mean what in the context is teaching good things or being teachers of good things is, verse 4, that they admonish the young women. So this teaching that older women are to be involved with and to be doing is connected with training, admonishing, and equipping younger women to be what God wants them to be. They are to be those who teach and model and live before the younger women what it looks like to be a godly woman in Christ. And so they are to be teachers of good things. Sadly, in our day and age, this is a thing that can be much lacking. And so I want for our church, like every other church that's faithful, to have women who have a desire to teach good things, that would have a desire to be teachers of good things, that they would train and admonish the younger women. We see in verses 4 and 5 what those things are. And I'll spend, I think, more than one sermon unpacking those things. But we see that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So we see the things that older women are to teach younger women are particularly about what it means to be faithful as wives to love their husbands, as mothers to love their children, and as homemakers to care and to keep their home. Those are the primary things that older women are to teach younger women. These are the primary things that God wants older, godly, faithful women in the church to pass on to the next generation of women. And this doesn't just mean for the women that are married with young children. This should be taught to young women early and often, that God has made women ordinarily to be wives, to be mothers, and to be homemakers. And this is what older women, first their mothers and other godly women in the church, must be training and admonishing younger women to be. Because we know that the world is not going to admonish and teach younger women to be like this. We know the world. We know the government school system is not going to teach them this. We know that the world is not going to teach them this. They're not going to teach them to love their husband, to love their children, to be obedient to their husband, to be homemakers. They're not being taught that by the world. So they must be taught that by first their godly father and mother, and by the older women in the church. Of course, also through the pulpit and these type of things, through pastors. But there's a key ministry that God wants older women to give themselves to, and that is the teaching and training and admonishing of younger women. It's sad to see in our day and age, and even sometimes in our circles, you will have women that have chosen, thanks be to God, to be at home with their children, to love their husband, to love their children, even to homeschool. But then they train their daughters, it seems to be, with a different worldview. They say out of their mouth and by their practice with their wife being home, this is what we want. But then they train their daughters, and it almost looks like to be career women, which is contrary to what it seems like they want. They're training, they themselves are being keepers at home, but they're training the younger women under them, particularly their daughters, with that different mindset. And that's a sad thing to see, where you have women that have stayed home, but then their daughters go off without that thinking. And are, like Vodi Bakum has classically said, men, or they're trained to be men who can biologically have children. This is commonplace. You know why it's commonplace? And this is also, I think, something Goody Bachum said. I'll kind of make it my own. But think about how hard it would be. Let's say you have a 17-year-old girl. And you have maybe even church ladies, depending on the church. And they ask that young lady, they say, sweetheart, what do you want to do when you grow up? And if that young woman looks at them with a straight face and says, I want to be a wife, a mother, and a homemaker, there would be women in the church who would say things like, that's all you want to do? That's all you want out of life? And you know what it does? It causes younger women who might in their mind have that philosophy, they won't be that bold because they know they'll get pushback if they're that bold. They know even women in the church will make them feel bad that they just want to be wives, mothers, and homemakers. My dear beloved brethren, these things ought not to be so. Because what older women are to teach the younger women explicitly from Titus 2 is to be wives, mothers, and homemakers. And so if you have older women making younger women feel bad that they just want to be a wife and a mother and care for their home, why would younger women want it? If even the older women that are supposed to encourage them for that make them feel bad for feeling that way. But my beloved brethren, we need older women in this church that celebrate, and I know we do by God's grace, but I want it to be implanted in your mind even more, to celebrate and to desire the women that come and are members of this church to say, it's good that you want to be a wife. It's good that you want to be a mother. It's good that you want to be a homemaker. Those are good desires. Don't let anyone ever tell you that's a bad desire. Don't let anyone ever tell you that you are settling. Don't let anyone ever tell you that you are wasting your gifts. Don't let anyone ever tell you that you are making a mockery of your life. Don't let anyone ever tell you that. And we need young, older women that have the courage to say, sweetheart, it is a good desire. And don't let yourself ever be ashamed of it. We need older women that have that courage. But you know why it's also hard? It's because feminism has crept into the church. If you don't believe me, you should believe me by that example. Feminism has crept into the church. Feminism isn't just something out there. Feminism is something that can come in here. And therefore, it's hard for older women to have the courage because they know they're bucking against the system. They know they're bucking against the system. To encourage a younger woman to love their husband, to love their children, to be obedient to their husband, to be a homemaker, is going against the grain. Because it's so common. In our culture as well, it's just so common that both men and women, they go off to college, they get a degree, they get a job, they start working, and they both are being trained the exact same way. Have we not realized that? In our culture, sadly, men and women are being trained the exact same way. You get a career, maybe you get married. But we need to train our younger women. We need to train our younger women not to be like men who can biologically have children. We do not need to train our women that they are men who can biologically have children. But you know one reason why we are in the reality that we're in today is because the church has not had a strong voice to say men and women are different and they should be trained different. And for years, even people in the church have trained their daughters like men and not as females who are unique and have unique gifts to be used in the home and in the church. Me and Liz have talked about this. We've had conversations that we want to train our daughters to be wise mothers and homemakers. From the beginning, I will be pouring into my daughters if God gives me daughters. God has made you, and we are going to train you not to be a man. We are going to train you because, Lord willing, under God's blessing, you're probably going to get married. And therefore, we want you to be a fantastic wife. We want you to be a fantastic mother. And we want you to have the ability to be a good and faithful homemaker. We are not going to train our daughters to be men, God helping us. We are going to train our daughters to be faithful women. And we need this in the church. We need this. And you know this is true, that these things are controversial, even in the church. And women are being trained not to be women, but to be men. There's women in our context here that I'm sure have gotten some pushback. Why are you not going to college? Why are you staying at home? Why are you not doing that? Because that's expected. And when women don't go along with the system, they get pushback. Why aren't you going along with the system? Why aren't you doing this? And all they want, if you heard them and they had the courage at that moment, is because I want to be a wife, mother, and homemaker. That's what I want. And I know we have young women in this congregation who are like that, that they didn't go that system because they knew that that wasn't aiding their future to be a wife, mother, and homemaker. And I praise God for that. That they were willing to make that tough decision that looked strange to the world. Could there ever be a time where a woman gets higher education? Possibly. I don't want to say as a dogmatic rule. But that woman would have to think, is this helping me or hindering me to be a good wife, a good mother, and a good homemaker? That any decision that a woman makes about her life, she would have to put it under this umbrella. If I do this, will I be better served to be a good wife to my husband, a good mother to my children, and a better homemaker to love and care for my husband and children? Every decision that a young woman makes, unless she believes she has the gift of celibacy, which most women don't have, almost every woman you talk to wants to get married. God has put that desire in them. And unless they have that gift of celibacy, every decision that they make should say, is this helping me to be a wife, mother, and homemaker? And older women, we need you to encourage younger women to say, it's good for you to make your decisions based on that. It's good. It's good. It's good. Because older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, and to be homemakers, amongst other things. We need older women that have the courage in these things. I don't want to name the person's name. Some of you might remember the situation. Someone came to a study that we were having, I think it was connected with our church, and they were going over things about being a wife, mother, homemaker. And this person went to a church and had never heard the term being a helpmeet or a helper for her husband. That was like a new concept for her, in the sense that she was not familiar with that. This is like, at least I was hearing it secondhand. I wasn't in the study. But that's a sad reality when you can have women who are in the church and those basic concepts of, like, the reason why women were made was to be helpers to their husband. Like, that was the whole reason God made Eve. Because it was not good for a man to be alone. I'll make him a helper fit for him. And so many women are not being taught this. And then they get married. You know what happens? Their marriage suffers greatly because they have not been trained by older women, first by their mother and other older women, of what it means to be a godly wife, mother, and homemaker. I know that all marriages have difficulties because all of us come in with remaining sin. But I think a lot of marriages could have less difficulties if older women were training younger women to be good wives, mothers, and homemakers. I think some of the difficulties could be taken away because those women would be taught, okay, this is what it means to be a wife. This is what it means to be a mother. This is what it means to be a homemaker. And she is so equipped so that those problems that maybe other women that were saved later in life were not able to experience. But these younger women, you don't have to go through all the trials I went through. You don't have to have all the baggage I have. You don't have to go through all the difficulties. And that's why I want to train you. And so we need older women in this congregation that will encourage by their precept and by their practice this type of desire. But the only way that you can do it truly and sincerely, I'll say another way in which you can do it. You can also do it another way. But this, a key way you do it is, you're doing these things yourself. Or you've done these things yourself. It's hard to have a good conscience teaching younger women to love their husband when you don't love your husband. It's hard to teach younger women to love their children when you know you don't love your children. It's hard to teach younger women to be a homemaker when you know that that wasn't your desire. And you weren't doing that. It's hard to do that. Let me just say another way, though. I did say there's another way. Another way to help younger women is say, sweetheart, I did it wrong. And if I could go back, I would have done it differently. And if I could have done it differently, I would not have been a career woman. I would not have sought these things because it brought a lot of harm to my life because I didn't do it God's way. And I look back with scars because of it. Don't do it the way I did it. That's invaluable to a woman. It is also helpful for women to say, for you to be honest with them and just admit, I did it wrong. I didn't follow God's way, and I wish I did. I don't want that same for you. And if women can hear that from older women, that's invaluable. So you have older women who have done it the right way, not perfectly, but sincerely. They are a great blessing to pour in the younger women. And women who didn't are a great blessing to say, I did it wrong. Don't do it the way I did it. And both can be helpful. But what we don't need is women saying, being a career woman or being a homemaker, they're equally the same. We don't need that. Because that's not what Titus 2 teaches. Titus 2 does not teach whatever God calls you to. Whatever God puts on your heart. None of that nonsense. God has commanded what he wants for women. I don't care what they think God called them to. And women can try to get out of clear directives by saying, God has not called me to that ministry. God has not called me to that practice. But he has commanded you to be a homemaker. He has commanded you to love your husband, to love your children. No matter what you feel called to. And so this is what older women are to teach younger women. They are to teach them these things. They are to admonish them because we need younger women. We need younger women in the church that have this mindset. We have a phrase. I'm going to try to see if I can get it right. Someone might have to help me. He who rocks the cradle rules the world. I think that's a famous phrase. I think I'm getting it close. It's an interesting phrase. But I think what the gist of the phrase is, a mother can have a great impact in this world. Ladies, you being home is not service that God says, I don't care about. God is pleased when women are home loving their husband, loving their children. Even if no one else sees you, you know who sees you? God sees you in secret and rewards you openly. Some of you have been home for a long time. Some of you don't have children in your home anymore, but you were home with your children for a long time with them in the home. And God saw every act of obedience, even if no one else did. God saw every act of obedience, and God was pleased with it. Let me encourage the older women here, and also to encourage the younger women. The world will not applaud you for being a homemaker, but God will be pleased with you. The world will not celebrate. You will not get employee of the month, unless your husband gives it to you. He could. But you won't get that from the world. But God is pleased with it. And that's the most important thing. But let me speak to the men. Man, we should celebrate our wives being home. If your wives are home, caring for your home, loving you, loving your children, praise them. Let them know how grateful you are that they made your meal, they do your laundry, they care for your children. Whatever they do to serve you, to bless you as your helpmates, praise them. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. So, Proverbs 31, verse 28. Praise your wife. It's not unbiblical to praise your wife. It's actually biblical to do. It's actually sin not to. Because the godly man praises his wife. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Praise your wife. Because you know what? You might not know it, but because of our feministic culture, so many women feel discouraged by being in the home. And they need their husbands to say, it's good. I'm so thankful for you. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so glad you're doing this. Thank you for being my wife and the mother to my children and keeping our home. I thank God for you. And if we had a church climate that out loud the children saw and even the church saw men praising their wives because of being homemakers, that would revolutionize other women's desire to be homemakers because they see, wow, these men take women being homemakers seriously. We need that. We need that. Praise your wives. And so this is what older women are to teach younger women. And for the older women, you need boldness. I probably don't even have to tell you that. But you need boldness, especially women that don't think this way. It's easy to preach to the choir. That's why it's somewhat easy to preach the sermon in this context, because I'm basically preaching to the choir, which makes it easier. I mean, if I was in some churches, wow, preaching a sermon like this. But I'm thankful for the church I get to pastor here. But it is controversial. So you need courage to say, I believe God's ways are better, and even if a young lady gets upset with me, even if she says, I don't want you to teach me anymore, I don't want to come over your house anymore, it's better to be faithful than to be liked by a woman that doesn't want to hear God's word. We need women that have courage. We need women that have the boldness to say what they need to say to them. Not, obviously not harshly, not with a mean spirit, but lovingly. Encouraging them to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands. Why? That the word of God may not be blasphemed. We need older women who have courage to do this. And young ladies, listen to older women when they're teaching you Titus 2 principles. Listen to them. Submit to their teaching as it agrees with Scripture. The best people to teach are those who want to be taught. And so younger women have to be teachable and hear and learn. But some might be here and say, well, what if we didn't do this? What should we do? Pray. Pray. God can change hearts. Pray. And tell that person, if you haven't already, as you have opportunity, we told you wrong. We told you wrong. Forgive us. This is what God wants for younger women. And then help them and pray for them. You can't change their heart. You can't make them want what God wants for them. But you can speak the truth to them in love. And you can humble yourself of saying, we did it wrong. And we wish we would have taught you this way. Instead, we've taught you this way. And that was our fault. We take responsibility for that. But now we're trying to teach you the right way. So we need this. We need older women teaching younger women. We need this in the church for God's glory. And so, ladies, this is not something I want you to hear and then say, oh, that was a good sermon, or whatever it might be. I want you to put this into practice. There are younger women here in our context. There are older women here, and there are younger women here. And therefore, you have a great opportunity to do these things. A lot of Titus 2 is going to be done informally. I don't think Titus 2 is describing a class or these type of things. I think it's describing life-on-life relationships, mentorship, where older women, we could say, take women under their wing and care for them. I remember my mother. She did not grow up in a Christian home. And a lot of this stuff was new to her. And she, thankfully, the church, soon, when they got married, my mom and dad got married and had me, children were seen as a blessing more caught than taught. We were actually kind of talking about this yesterday. It wasn't necessarily taught, but a lot of people had a lot of children. So it was like seen as children are a good thing. Which I'm thankful for that. And there was a lady at another church they went to who would take my mom out. I don't even think my mom even knew it was Titus 2, but probably that woman did. And she would take her places and encourage her. I think it was, if I remember right, it was the pastor's wife. And she would do that. And help my mom because she cared for my mom being a godly woman. That's an example of a woman taking someone along and encouraging her. And I'm sure that was helpful for my mom because my mom did not have encouragement to be a homemaker because she did not grow up in a Christian home. But she did for years and years and years because some of it was caught more than taught, but she was willing to do this because she knew it was right. It's interesting, I was talking to her actually yesterday as we were heading up to the bridal shower, and she was telling me that some of this, it was just, she knew it was right. She just knew instinctively that this is what, as a Christian woman, this is what she should do. And I praise God that basically when I was born, just for a little bit of time, she was finishing up the school year because she was a teacher. My mom has a master's degree in education, and she, quote unquote, gave that up so she would be home. I praise God for that. I praise God for that. That she could have been all types of things in education, but she said it was a bit more important to be home. To be home. And so we need older women that are going to pour into younger women, who are going to pour into them what it means to love their husband, to love their children, and to be homemakers. We need this. We need this. We need this for the good or for the glory of God. We need it for the good of families and the good of children that are the next generation. You know how valuable it is for children to have their mom in the home? I don't think mothers sometimes realize for children, having mom home is unbelievably important. So good. Words don't even describe how good it is for mom to be home. It's the security. It's the safety. It's the protection. It's the love. It's the nurture. It's knowing that if something happens, we can go to mom. Ladies, you being home, you might think we didn't really accomplish much today. And maybe, humanly speaking, maybe you didn't, but you were home. But you were home. And therefore your children had the blessing of you being there. Let's say you didn't get any work done in homeschool. You didn't do anything. You didn't get to do anything that you wanted to. And you realize the day ended, you're laying on your bed, and we didn't hardly do anything. Remember, you were home. You were home. And that is a blessing. In itself, you being home. And we need the younger women to be taught that them being home for their children is an immense blessing that children will look back and be thankful for. I primarily went to government school, but my two of my brothers, they've only either been in homeschool or Christian school. And sometimes I would tell them when they were being homeschooled, so they would get the point and say, "You don't know enough yet to be thankful. You don't know enough yet to be thankful." They probably didn't like me doing that too much, but I told them that several times. "You don't know enough yet to be thankful." But I wanted to pour into my younger brothers, who, praise God, my two younger brothers are in Christ. I praise God for that. To encourage them of how blessed they are of being able to be home with mom and homeschooled. Especially since I primarily didn't experience that. And wanted to encourage them of the blessing of that. And so we need older women to do this for younger women. But if you're here without Christ, the only way that you could be a godly older man, godly older woman, godly boy, godly girl that God wants you to be can only come by being in Christ, by repenting and believing in Him. It's impossible to be what God wants you to be without these realities. It's impossible to truly be the person God wants you to be unless you are first trusting in the person and work of Jesus Christ, who died and rose again to save His people from their sin. Only in Christ can you be what God wants you to be. Without Christ, you cannot be what God wants you to be. In Christ, you can be everything that God wants you to be by His grace. So if you're without Christ, look to Jesus to save you. Repent and believe in Him and have everlasting life. And again, like I've been saying, but I want to hit the drum again. All this flows out of sound doctrine. Because even though we have sinned against God, we have rebelled against His commandments, and we deserve nothing but death, hell, and the grave. We deserve His wrath. God sent His only begotten Son in the world, who lived a perfect life for us, so that we could have His perfect righteousness, so that we could be acceptable to God because of Jesus and His righteousness. He died upon the cross to bear our sins, to satisfy God's wrath. He was buried. He rose again from the dead. He ascended back up into heaven. He lives forever to make intercession for us. And when we repent and believe in Him, we are saved, and therefore we are God's beloved children. And we do all this primarily because of the gospel. Because we've been saved, because we've been rescued, because we've been given new hearts. And it all flows out of sound doctrine. And older women, this is what God wants you to be. He wants you to be reverent. He wants you to be not a slanderer. He wants you not be given to much wine. If you need something to pray for in the morning, take Titus 2:3 and pray through it. Be a great thing to pray through in the morning if you need something to pray through. And it's also so important that, again, you older women are admonishing the younger women, celebrating and glorying in younger women desiring and pursuing to be a wife, to be a mother, and to be a homemaker. We need older women that are doing that. We need older women that are doing that. And if you haven't, or you know you've sinned, confess your sins to the one who is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then get back up and press on to be more faithful in that reality. And younger women, again, you should want to hear from older women. You should want to be admonished by them. By first your mother, if you have a godly mother, but also by other godly women in the church. You should want to hear their admonition. And older ladies, how are you going to do this? One, because you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But you need courage. You need courage. In our feministic age, you need courage to say what the world says is a lie. What God says is true. God's ways are best, and you need courage. And may God help all of us. May the men celebrate godly women. May we as a church celebrate godly women. And may we rejoice in God's design for men and women. Because when we do it, we get blessing. When we fight against it, it only brings harm to ourselves. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray you would help us. Help us, please. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for his salvation. And may that be the motive of our godly living. In Jesus' name, amen.